With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
All right. There we go. There we
nice.
Go.
Nice.
There we go. Timing is everything.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. Timing is
Molly's
everything.
Back.
Charlton is
Molly's
on the
back.
Nanosecond. I am back with you on Make Me Smart. Thank you to Kimberly Adams, though. I almost feel bad displacing her because she is so good. So
yeah,
good. I listened as like a listener all week long, and I was just riveted. It was fantastic. What a good week.
Yeah, it was awesome. She did great, and we did some good stuff. So that's Molly. I'm Kai. It's Monday, which makes this the Monday daily edition of Make Me Smart, our chance to talk about the news and whatever might be making us smile or giving us a little chuckle, because, you know, sometimes you just got to settle for the chuckle. You want to go first? What do you want to do?
Sure. Mine is basically the sort of the breaking news coming into this, because it sort of was evolving just before the show, which is that the president is expected to sign an order later today, temporarily barring new immigrants. I'm reading now from the Wall Street Journal. I have not memorized this.
Has signed, I believe. Has signed.
I believe has signed.
My Twitter feed tells
yeah,
me.
Let me.
Has signed, yes.
Let me control R
yes.
this. the journal still has expected it to sign, but basically has issued, right? For all intents and purposes, have issued a temporary ban on all kinds of new incoming immigrants on all kinds of visas, including the H-1B visa, which is the sort of like much ballyhooed, high-skilled worker visa that a lot of Silicon Valley uses for tech workers. But it really is way broader than the ban that we saw. I don't know. Was it that an actual march? No, in April. And it is, you know, ostensibly to protect U.S. jobs for U.S. workers. But a whole bunch of businesses have already said, like, no, we definitely need camp counselors, au pairs, high-tech workers, high-skilled workers of all sorts, if we're going to jumpstart our economy at all.
We should be clear here that this is, I was slacking with Nancy Vergali, the executive producer of Marketplace, during the show, because this had crossed while we were in the studio, or I was in my tent fort, as it were. And she pointed out that this is an intended consequence. We talk about unintended consequences in economics all the time. This is an intended consequence. This is what the Trump administration and Stephen Miller, his chief immigration advisor, has been wanting to do for a very long time, which is curtail legal entry into this country, specifically immigration that is to say on a permanent basis. But a lot of times these H visas can lead to permanent residency and then eventually citizenship. But this is an intended consequence of their immigration policy. And we should just be
absolutely
upfront about that. Yeah,
we really should. And we should not. I mean, you know, I think that the like a lot of things that are happening, the pandemic is the cover in this case for what you rightly point out is something that they've wanted to accomplish for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think now we will see what the and look, I mean, the administration has been turning away unaccompanied children at the border and saying that coronavirus is the reason. That apparently violates federal law if they present themselves and are looking and are unaccompanied and looking for what's the word I'm looking for? You know,
they want to come
for help. Anyway, unaccompanied children.
Asylum. Refugees?
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Nope. Asylum. Yes. That's the word.
Okay,
so, yes, this is definitely an extension of and one that just happens to, at a moment of potential peril for the president, appeal to the base for sure. But I think we will now find out what the business community really has to say about this. It's not as though there have not been criticisms of these programs, the H-1B program in particular, some tech workers say, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, we're basically indentured servants to tech companies who sponsor us and pay us way less than they pay our American counterparts. But that is not the same as this. And businesses have been very clear yeah. that, like, they need workers.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You just bring up the business thing, which is totally spot on. But it harkens back, if I might, to some of our mm-hmm. early episodes in the early 2017-ish period when we talked about business as a check on the Trump administration, right?
Yep.
Because Congress was not doing it. And businesses were speaking up and saying, no, this is bad policy because X, Y, and Z for our businesses. And that's what got some traction. And it'll be interesting to see now if, as you say, businesses have any oomph, you know?
Yeah. I mean, most of them definitely yeah. stopped doing that, for sure. But
yeah.
maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually, it's funny that you bring that up because I was thinking about that the other day with respect to masks. I was thinking that, like, in yeah. our long socialization process, that it is clearly going to take to convince people who, it should be noted, were fed conflicting information about the efficacy mm-hmm. of masks, have no leadership from the federal government, and are now being kind of like hit with this pat. For some people, they're literally just finding out that masks might work. Other people, I don't really know what's wrong. But I do know
right.
that if businesses require them as a condition of reopening, that will do more than a patchwork of weird recommendations and policy at this point in America, this being America, if businesses say you have to wear these so that we can reopen, that will do more than really governors one, and mayors could even hope.
One can only hope. One mm-hmm. can only hope. That's what I'm doing. I'm hoping. Okay, mine. So, talked a little bit on Thursday or Friday about the captain of the USS Theodore Roosevelt, the aircraft carrier on which I was stationed when I was in the military. There is an article, this is related but not, in that it's about an aircraft carrier. So when I was active duty, one of the required reading things that you had to do to maintain professional proficiency was read the monthly publication of something called the United States Naval Institute. And the magazine is called the Naval Institute Proceedings. And it's a think tanky kind of piece or magazine about all kinds of issues having to do with sea power and power projection and all those kinds of things. They are out today with a column by a retired Navy guy that is titled The Case for Renaming the USS John C. Stennis. Now, the USS John C. Stennis, for those who are not familiar, is designated CVN 74. It's the 74th large aircraft carrier in the sequence of aircraft carrier numberings. It's a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, which is to say it's 103,000 tons. It's 1,000 feet long. It's a giant capital ship. It costs $4.5 billion. And it is named after an avowed segregationist, John C. Stennis, Senator from Mississippi. And this guy, Lieutenant Commander, retired Lieutenant Commander Reuben Keith Green, U.S. Navy, says, it an African-American guy, says it is time. It is time. Can you imagine being a black sailor ordered to USS John C. Stennis? Can you imagine having to carry out a sometimes fatal mission, right, in a ship named for and bearing the American flag, but named for this guy? And it'll be really interesting to me to see in the wave of statue takedowns and Confederate generals named army bases like Fort Benning and all the rest of those that we've talked about. It'll be interesting to see if the Navy says, you know what? Mm-hmm. We're going to change the name of this ship. That'll be a really interesting test case. Really interesting test case. And I think they ought to, just for the record. I think they should definitely change it.
So, yeah, absolutely. I'm scanning through this article while you talk. And wow, does that
crazy.
Guy sound evil.
Yeah.
Just evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do?
I think they're not going to do anything. I think they're not going to do anything. They've banned the Confederate flag, and they will take other measures. But this I don't know why I believe this, and maybe this is like a service bias for me, but I think this is conceivably a more high-profile decision than would be renaming, like, Fort Bragg or something. I don't know. Maybe all the Army guys will write in and say, no, you stupid Navy idiot.
I know. I'm like, whoa, dude. I can tell you that as a civilian, I've heard of the one, but I haven't heard of the other.
No, that's true. That's fair enough. Fair enough. That's true. That's totally true.
But it might be because I live in Northern California,
Yeah, but wait. So here's a real life power projection example. The USS John C. Stennis, it's in for nuclear overhaul now, right? Its power plant and all that jazz is being overhauled and fresh fuel and all that stuff, right? But when it goes back out to the fleet, it will go over to the Western Pacific, and it will make port calls in the Philippines and in Japan and maybe in Vietnam, right? And it will be a symbol of American presence and power. That ain't happening with Fort Bragg. It's staying right there, stuck where it is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So arguably, this is a more germane representation of the American ethos. There you go. How about that?
I mean, I would say that that is an argument that is simultaneously Homer and probably still correct.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll call that a win. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I'm buying it. I'm buying it.
Fair enough. All right.
All right. We're already laughing. Should we move on?
Yes. Good. Let us. Oh, man. Yeah, the Hamilton movie. Holy cow.
It's about time. I am just like
holy cow.
Pre-excited. I'm just pre-excited because the Hamilton movie is coming July 3rd to Disney Plus, actual Disney Plus, and like do whatever it takes. I think you could probably get a 30-day trial. You could just buy it for $6.99 for 1 month and watch it every day for 30 days, which I might still do. Like, it's just...
I'm so excited.
And there have
members
been...
Members of my household
and it's really,
are excited, yeah.
I mean, Hamilton, like... I don't know if you saw, but in the early days of kind of the protests, there was just this wonderful Twitter thread. It was just ongoing. And it was like... Who among you did not realize that Hamilton is about a revolution and a call for a revolution and resistance? And it like, and people were posting lyrics, the lyrics that most speak to this idea of revolution. And I was just like, this is like, I don't know how, I don't know what celestial force coursed through Lin-Manuel Miranda, but like, he wrote a thing for the ages.
Crazy. Isn't it great?
For the ages. And then I'm just going to like pretend that Kimberly Adams is actually here. Because just a minute ago, she sent me a tweet about how Apple, they had their big WWDC thing today, which, like, who cares? But on their service, and I need another streaming service, like I need a hole in the head, but apparently I'm going to have to do it because Apple TV Plus in 2021 is getting Isaac Asimov's Foundation, which is like this insane foundational, and I apologize. Work of science fiction, and in the trailer for it, we're gonna have a link on makemesmart.org in our show notes to this trailer because it is banana pants, and it's literally like these are the books that created the idea of the uncertainty principle, or at least helped imagine the idea of an uncertainty principle, which is like if a population realizes that it's predicted to behave in a certain way, then it's because it's aware. It changes the actions because it can, and it's also about the fall of an empire, you know, just in related concepts.
Just throwing that out there. Oh,
anyway,
man.
Well, that's a good one. And then watch the Hamilton one, you'll just be like, ah! Yeah.
We will point out, just because Tony made this clear in the Slack, and it's a good point. So what they did was they shut down the theater of Hamilton for a night, or did it maybe on a Monday when they were dark. And they filmed the Broadway play with the original cast. That's why it's unbelievable. It's the original cast.
It's going to be amazing.
On stage.
Because it's actually them.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
And Jody pointed out to me in Slack, tickets were literally never cheaper than like $250. I think finally now they started to go on sale right before the pandemic. So this is actually democratizing that you can spend $7 to see this like...
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, that's what he said. That's what Miranda said. He did some video with his dad and somebody else when news broke that this had been done and they were going with Disney. And he said, I just want to get this thing to as many people as can. And look, touring companies are great and we're taking it where we can. But this will get it in the hands of everybody who wants to see it, which is kind of amazing. And it'll be like $10 for a month or nothing for a free trial, as Molly said, which is kind of amazing.
My son kind played Hamilton in a little local production of Hamilton. They only did like half of it, and he was one of two Hamiltons. But let me tell you, watching a 9-year-old, I think he was, learn, you know, like a bunch of revolutionary manumissionary abolitionists, give me a gun and show me where the ammunition is, was like amazing. He's like, it's just so good.
I'm pretty fired up. We're going on that one. Molly Wood just dropped the mic right there. We're going out.
I'm just fired up.
Back tomorrow with the big show Tuesday. We're going back to the most distinguished graduate of North Dakota Regional High School in Molly Wood's year, Dr. Lauren Wall, on what's going on with this pandemic. He will make us so smart because I have so many questions because there's so much data and so much confusing information going on out there. So he's going to hook us up. In the meanwhile, send your questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org, and we're back tomorrow with the big show.
See you then. Oh, it's real nice to be back. I like our show.
It's nice to have you back. Yeah, me too.
Thanks, man. Make Me Smart is produced. I'm like smiling. I got a smile on my face. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and our senior producer is Jody Becker. And I just love how we're all just a live show on Slack together. Ben Hathcote is our video producer. Ethan Parrott's our video intern. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips, who also came up with the word asylum.
Charlton Thorpe was pushing all the buttons and sliding all the sliders down at the studios in downtown L.A. Our theme music was composed by Daniel Ramirez and Ben Holliday. Star Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. And there we go. Boom,
bing, bing, bing.
Boom,
So great. So great.
Impressive.
I love this show.
That was very impressive.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.